God, thank you that we have this time together this morning. Thank you for the great, good, glorious, and mighty God that you are. Lord, I pray that that would be so much more than just empty words to us, just a catchphrase that God is good all the time. Lord, I pray that that would be real to us today, that you would expand our imagination, that you would take us beyond just our simple and feeble expectations of you today, that our faith might be given force. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of things are going on today that are not what we'd expected. We're having technical glitches. We're having, the recordings from Dave's top hits, whatever that was that we just had. Lots of things that we didn't expect, and it reminded me of when we were first expecting a child, CJ, our firstborn. We read this book, What to Expect When You're Expecting. Anybody read that book? What to Expect When You're Expecting? Yeah, lies, all lies. It didn't tell me what to expect. There are things that I did not expect as part of being a parent. Things I never expected to tell my children. Peanut butter doesn't go in the power outlet. Just doesn't work, okay? We don't share our boogers. Things like that. No, the toilet is not something to play in. Things I never expected to have to do. And it didn't take very long before we were disillusioned. All those things that we thought it was going to be great being a parent, right? That Disney bubble got burst real quick. And sometimes that happens in our relationship with God too. We're in this series, Disillusioned. And over this four-week series, we're actually looking at what doubt does in the life of a Christian. How do we interact with this? How do we admit that it exists and yet at the same time not feel like we're betraying God? And we looked at last week that doubt is God's invitation to a deeper faith. That in the middle of our doubt, God wants us to walk with him. And we're working with this definition of disillusioned. It is when we are losing our illusions, our false ideals or belief about something. In this case, about God. And every single one of us in this room have illusions about God that at some point will fall off in the reality of life. We all have expectations. In our relationships, we often have expectations of the other person and how that relationship is supposed to look. And the hardest part of that relationship is when those expectations don't get met. Wives, you expect your husbands to actually get their clothes in the hamper. Husbands, you expect the wives to understand that the oil needs to be changed every so many miles, right? And it turns out they're not you. So there's tension in the relationship. When we start dating someone, there are expectations that are built up. Because did you ever realize how much dating has in common with used car sales? Hear me out. I'm going to tell you all the best features. Forget those dings and bruises over there. I'm going to tell you how low the mileage is and forget that the transmission needs to be changed. All these other little problems. We are going to sell the best stuff up front and hide all the other stuff until you are really committed to this thing. And that happens in our dating relationships. That happens in our friendships. Goodness, that doesn't happen in our church relationships, does it? Of course it does. All of our relationships, because you have to put your best foot. Nobody ever explained to me what the best foot is, by the way. The expression means to give your best at first. Well, that's kind of horrible, isn't it? No. I'm going to put my worst foot forward, because if you don't like me at my worst, you aren't going to like me eventually. And that happens in our relationship, that these expectations don't get met. Because in this world that is broken by sin, inevitably, expectations are going to fall. People are going to fail, and the tears will flow. It's going to happen. Each of us is certain to experience, to varying degrees, expectations that remain unmet. That's what we're going to talk about today, unmet expectations. Because a fundamental phrase in the life of a Christian is that we have a relationship with God. And sometimes we bring those expectations into our relationship with God of what it's going to be like, what he's going to be like, how we think God will operate. And when he doesn't follow our schematics and he doesn't perform the way he thinks he should, we become frustrated with him and we question his loyalty to our relationship. Friends, last week we looked at John the Baptizer. We are still in good company on this one. We're going to look at biblical narratives of people that experience the same doubts that we do. And this week, it's no different. We're going to look at some of his closest followers who had unmet expectations with him. Go ahead and open up to Matthew chapter 16. We were in Matthew 11 last week. We're in Matthew 16 this week. We're starting in verse 21. We get to see an experience that Jesus has with his followers, and not just any follower, it's actually one of his inner three. Peter, James, and John were the closest friends Jesus had in this life. Again and again, they show up in their interaction with him as close companions. And Peter here has an unmet expectation. In Matthew 16, 21, it says this: "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. 'Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you.' But he," that's Jesus, "turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man.'" Now, this is really unexpected, because if we just back up in the same scene, the same conversation, Peter had confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And at this time, Peter was being called Simon. And Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonas, because it was not man that revealed this to you, but God. Your name is Simon. You shall be called Peter," meaning rock. "And on this rock, on this Petra, I will build my church." And from this passage, there's a sect of supposed Christianity that believes Peter is the first pope. So what do we do with the fact that now Jesus calls him Satan? Not exactly a great beginning. If that's the case, Satan literally just means opponent, enemy, person that is going against and resisting. And in this interaction, we see how we can keep our unmet expectations from being a resistance to what God is doing in our life. How we can be not Satan in this. Because here's what I want you to consider. Just consider this today. If nothing else, you just consider this, it will be a successful Sunday morning. What if the problem that we have in our life is not that God failed to meet our expectations, but that our expectations failed us? Let me say that question again. What if our problem is not that God failed to meet our expectations, but that our expectations failed us? Look at what Peter says here. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." Peter's saying, "This doesn't fit with what I'm expecting of you. Jesus, you should know better than to say this." He's saying, "I have a limited view of you." That's the truth. Peter had such a limited view of Jesus and what he was capable of, what he could do. How, after seeing all those miracles, Peter still doesn't get it. After seeing him raise Lazarus from the dead, Peter still doesn't understand this. "I don't understand." But he has a limited view of Jesus and of God. It could only ever be victory for him. If it didn't look like victory, no way could my Jesus, my Lord, my Messiah ever do this. And he brings this to Jesus. Friends, this is where dealing with our unmet expectations begins. Express your unmet expectations to God. Express your unmet expectations to God. Go to God with it. No frustration or questions are so big that God can't handle it. He knows our every thought from afar. Our words can't reach his ears before his heart has already understood ours. Our Heavenly Father doesn't shy away from the questions that we might find too hard and find difficult to bring to Him. Instead, He draws us to Himself as His loving children with those questions, with those unmet expectations. Because He made a way for us to come before Him in prayer, we can be honest with Him. Lay your expectations down before Him. Let Him examine them. See if we're expecting too little or the wrong thing or too much of something. Let Him confront you with the truth. Because here's the reality of it. The Lord can use your unmet expectations to draw you closer to Him as we turn to Him for answers. And as we turn to Him, He shows us more of His love and mercy and the steadfast hope that He offers us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Unmet expectations teach us hard lessons. I love the way Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, puts it. I have learned to kiss the waves that have thrown me upon the Rock of Ages. I have learned to kiss the waves that have thrown me upon the Rock of Ages. I'm pretty sure Spurgeon's not speaking in this way, in a type of pucker up wave, sarcastic perspective. I think he is saying it in a humble way that recognizes that even the worst experiences we can have that drive us closer to God are actually the best things for us, including our unmet expectations. That they draw us closer and deeper in faith of the God who works everything, everything for good. Whenever we encourage each other with this, this is a phrase that is kiss the wave, should only be spoken as a lump rises in our throats and our hearts feel like they're being squeezed in a vice. Don't use this passively, this whole idea. Because I understand some of you are going through things I can't imagine. So I don't want this to sound glib or trite. Learn to kiss the wave. I promise you, you will learn to appreciate those things that make it harder for you to cling to God because it makes you cling to Him harder. You will learn this. The unmet expectations we endure in this fallen world, perhaps more than any other things, remind us of this truth. We remember Jesus, who's called Emmanuel, God with us, and He bore the cross for our sake. If He, the Rock of Ages, is willing to take on the greatest trial anyone could ever experience, could really the waves of trials ever drown us if we're clinging to Him? No. Express your unmet expectations to God. Take it to Him in prayer. Be honest with Him. You aren't covering it up with pleasantries is not going to impress Him. Bring it to Him. Be truthful. Then examine your expectations. Last week we talked about questioning your doubts. This goes hand in hand with that. Examine your expectations. Check them out. One of the first steps in any relationship is called expectation management. You start a new job, they let you know the expectations. We expect you to show up at this time on these days and do A, B, and C. You get all this done, there are return expectations. You do all these things, you can expect to have X, Y, Z in your paycheck. It's just the way it works. Nice trade, right? It's a relationship. As you begin a friendship with somebody, you begin to describe yourself in other words and you talk about your experiences to let the other person know what they can expect from their relationship with you. As I came on here as pastor, you all grilled me for hours and embarrassed me because I didn't have all the answers because we were talking about expectations. What could you expect from me? What could I expect from you in this relationship? And those change over time, don't they? We adapt, we change, because we've examined our expectations and go, that's not reasonable, or that's not the best expectation we could have of this scenario. See, expectations can be high or low, they can be reasonable or unreasonable, they can be good or they can be bad. So inspect your expectations to see if there's anything even that God has said we should be expecting. I don't know how many Christians say, you know, I've prayed this prayer, so I'm just expecting an answer. I'm sorry, God did not promise that one to you. Or what about this? Is it backed up by evidence? Because some of our expectations, I grew up expecting God to be this mean old guy up in the sky with a magnifying lens going, ha ha, gotcha, you did something wrong, smack, smack. My expectation was downright wrong, and it wasn't backed by evidence. Again and again, God had mercy in the Bible. I had to change that expectation. See, one way that spiritual letdown happens is with poor theology. Some of you are going to wonder if you walked in the wrong church this morning, because I'm going to preach a little bit from a Metallica song. The 1991 Metallica song, The God That Failed. It describes the fallout of unmet expectations because of bad theology. James Hetfield experienced the death of his mother from cancer. In his frustration, Hetfield sings this, "The healing hand held back by the deepened nail, follow the God that failed." What brought about this song's unmistakable title and lyrics was his mother's belief in Christian Science that kept her from seeking medical treatment. Because her belief was, just trust God, he'll heal you. Just trust God, he'll heal you. And she dies. It's a metaphysical religion that reinterprets the Bible to stress the importance of consciousness and using mind and words to bring healing to the body. It's just a new rendition of New Ageism where you can manifest whatever it is you want. It's not Christian, nor is it science. And yet, because of this poor theology, James Hetfield, lead singer of Metallica, has sung before millions about his view of a God that failed. And for many of you, you have times where you think God has failed you. I've been there. I've been there. But let me ask you something, and maybe we need to ask ourselves something. When are we limiting God by our expectations? When have we limited him just to our resources, our abilities, our agenda, our limited perspective? See, our problem is not that we have great expectations and a small God. For many of us, the problem is that we have a great God and small expectations of him. See, his abilities so far outstrip our expectations that we don't need God to meet our expectations. We need our small expectations to meet our great God. You know, there's a reason behind this that we do BOOST, Basic Overview of Systematic Theology, on Sunday nights, so that our theology is biblically grounded in truth, that we can examine our expectations. What is this God like? What can I expect of him? Be ready for God to expand your theology when that happens. He's going to stretch you. He's going to pull you. It's going to be hard work. But if there's anything worth dedicating ourselves to hard thinking and hard work, it's understanding the God who's made promises and of whom we have expectations. That's where Peter got it wrong. And Jesus' reaction to him sets it right. Look at how Jesus reacts to Peter. "But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man.'" Jesus is essentially saying to Peter, "Peter, your imagination is too small. Think bigger. God is bigger. I am bigger. Expect bigger." Big idea for today: expect bigger. Expect bigger from God. Truly do. Expect bigger. Expose your faulty expectations. Once we have expressed it and examined it, we need to expose them. It's something that we call confession. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to come in here, sit in a box, and you come in, and I'll tell you how many Hail Marys and Our Fathers you have to pray. No. It's going to God with a heart that is open to receive his examination of your life and simply admitting, yeah, this was a dumb expectation. I had a friend in college, I say that word very loosely, who dated a girl that, honestly, she was like a sister to me growing up. Her name was Jamie Knowles. And Jamie had a sweetheart. She was, as far as people go, she was gorgeous on the inside, but you wouldn't be able to tell from the outside. Jamie struggled with her weight her whole life. And this this guy, I will not name him, was dating her. And in my hearing, he said this, I don't know, I just thought that since I was a Christian, God would give me a babe for a girlfriend, but I got you. I have never wanted to punch somebody so much in my life. So I did. First time. I want to talk about a faulty expectations. And you guys laugh at that expectation. You go, you could feel the room just like the air suck out of the room as y'all went, oh, he said what? How many other expectations do we have of God that are just as silly? Perhaps not the person we're dating. God will give me a great career. God will give me a wonderful house. God, pause. We need to look at our expectations and see where they're faulty and just bring that to God. Yep, that was a dumb expectation. And I'm not talking about bad things, by the way. We can talk about good things. You know, a caring husband, good friends, satisfying relationships, long life, a fair treat, and the list goes on and on and on and on of the things that we would expect from God. Can I share a secret with you, friends? Many of those expectations will not be met. Many of the expectations will not be met, but that has nothing to do with God loving you or not wanting to bless you. Quite the opposite. God has buried precious lessons and blessings in unmet expectations. For Peter, it was to let God be enough, nothing more. See, Peter was thinking of Jesus as a means to an end. He was thinking of a political revolt, revolution. He needed to remember the teaching of Psalm 62, 1 through 2. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. See, for Peter, if it wasn't political, he didn't want anything to do with it. Again and again, the disciples, including Peter, were asking, okay, are you going to cast out Rome now? Are you going to set up Israel now? Okay, now? Jesus had to say again and again, my kingdom is not of this world. Your expectation is so small. See, our expectations show what we are craving. And if it is anything but God, get this, if it is anything but God that you are expecting, you have identified another idol to remove in your life. Peter rebuked Jesus. Look, if you need some indication about something that you're putting over and above God, whatever you're rebuking God about is probably it. That should be a big red flag. If you are rebuking God in the flesh, maybe, just maybe, you're not on the right side of that argument. So Peter is here rebuking. Have you ever seen kids playing pretend? And maybe they're playing like cops and robbers or something like that. And one of them says to the other one, no, you're not doing it right. Do it like this, or sound like this, or make this sound for the gun, whatever. And they, you know, you're not doing it right. No, you're not doing it right. Well, we see a similar situation here, don't we? Because Jesus is explaining to his disciples what is going to happen, and Peter says, no, 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 you're not doing it right. You're not Messiah-ing right. I think I just came up with a new word. Messiah-ing right. You're not doing it right. See, he had an expectation of Jesus as the Messiah, and Jesus brings doubt to that expectation, so Peter says, you're not doing it right. But Peter's mind was not set on God's desire or perspective. He only saw his own limited perspective. Friends, the greatest hindrance to God's work in your life is when you hold on to your expectations rather than him. The greatest hindrance to God's work in our lives is when we hold on to our unmet expectations instead of the God who will exceed them. Expect bigger. Expand your expectations to fit God's. Expand your expectations to fit God's. Once you've exposed them to God, you give him free rein to take your expectations and show you just how little they really were in the first place. Expand your expectations to fit God's, or rather allow God to do it for you. Humble yourself. God knows things we do not. If we knew everything God knows, we would choose everything God chose. Every time. If we knew everything God knows, we would choose everything God chose. Not only can failed expectations cause disappointment and stir up doubt in our minds, it also causes us to lose our joy and gratitude. Six-time Olympic medalist Lolo Jones knows something about unmet expectations. Recently, she posted in her Instagram, and it just fits so perfectly, I have to share with you what she said. Quote, "Tonight I blocked the guy I was talking to for 8 months. My heart just couldn't take it anymore. He gave me so many mixed signals. He would talk about marriage and kids and then keep me in the friend zone. He'd never make time to see me. My heart is so heavy. I'm so exhausted from dating life. I have continually asked God to honor me with a godly man. I have prayed for years and with many tears for God, please, to allow me to find my husband. I even prayed that if God didn't want me to be married, to remove the desire from my heart. But as the years grow, I want to be married more and desire badly to have a family of my own. And I just keep getting my heart broke. I get teased all the time because I won't have premarital sex. Guys will DM me that I'm old, I'm washed up, I should just put out already. So I'm just crying out, where are you, God? Your word says in John 14:14, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. I'm asking God to please honor the desire of my heart. Your word says two are better than one. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. I'm just asking God to honor my heart because faith is hurting right now. I'm tired of getting teased. I'm asking God, my Father, my protector, my provider, please show up. Please honor me. First of all, I can't imagine the strength that this sister of Christ has shown in remaining pure throughout her life. She is not young, and sexuality runs rampant in the Olympic community. It's actually one of the big problems that they have in the hotels that they stay in, keeping them clean afterwards. So for her to be able to resist that, and she's not single because she's not beautiful. She's not single because she's not a good person. She's wonderful. But she just hasn't found God's man in that time yet. I have to wonder if in this she isn't imagining just a little bit too small. I don't want to be insensitive. I'm not downplaying it. It's immense. It's got to be lonely. But I wonder if her expectation isn't just a little too small in this. Which is greater? God giving a person something good to satisfy them, or God giving that person the strength to endure without their request, the faith to trust God even when they don't get what they want, and the comfort of being satisfied in the only one who can ever meet our needs? Which one is greater? Let me ask you that. Which one shows him more gloriously? Surely the first is more enjoyable, and I would wish that for her. As soon as I saw it, I prayed, God, give her strength, or the man, your choice. It would be more enjoyable to have the first, but does that bring more honor to God? Does that help us grow more? Does that build up our relationship with him more? If you look back over your life, I guarantee you the times that you have grown closer to God were not the times that everything was hunky-dory and going good. It was when you were in tears, white-knuckle in prayer, saying, God, you got to provide something, because if you don't, I am wrecked. Have mercy upon me, lest I die. That's the prayer of the heart that's drawing close to God. See, as long as we tie our happiness to things and people we can lose and that will inevitably disappoint us, we will never know the satisfaction our hearts truly hunger for. See, the satisfaction we crave remains elusive. However, unmet expectations direct our deep desires for satisfaction and happiness towards God if we accept their invitation. The greatest good, the most satisfying thing God could give us is himself. The one we will never lose and who will never disappoint us. Then we can declare with the psalmist, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. No matter what your plans or expectations are in life, God's plans are bigger still. Look at what Jesus was saying just before this confrontation with Peter. In Matthew 16, 21, it says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. Not that he was going to, that he must go to Jerusalem. And then you can read must before each one of these. That he must suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes. And he must be killed. And on the third day, he must be raised again. For Jesus, it was always must. He must be about his Father's work. That's why he was in the synagogue teaching the rabbis when he was 12 years old. That's why he must go through Samaria and meet the woman at the well. And that is why he must heal the man born blind so that God the Father might be glorified in him. And now he must die on the cross. It's all according to God's plan. And Peter's limited expectations just couldn't handle that huge of a plan. That leads us to our final action when we experience unmet expectations. Explore your expectations in God's plan. God's plan includes you. That means there are going to be expectations that are stripped off so that you can be a part of that. How often do things in your lives go exactly as planned? Goodness, even a trip to the grocery store now. Who expected that we would struggle to find toilet paper? Yet what happened? Who expected that we would ever run into a situation where baby formula would be a hot commodity? And yet here we are, the unexpected all over the place. And by the way, how boring would that be? If everything went according to plan, as you expected, life would be so dull. But how many times do we actually have everything planned out to the finest detail? Do you create expectations as a way to feel control of those situations? Quite often I do. The reality is this, you have little or no control over any of it. What will happen is going to happen regardless of how well you've planned. Right, Micah? Youth ministry? Happens as we plan all the time, right? No. Nothing happens according to plan. At least not ours. And it doesn't matter how much you worried about it. It doesn't matter how upset you are that it doesn't meet your expectations. Jesus had been telling his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer and die. He must do this. This is part of his plan. And they don't need to know how this plan works out, by the way. They just needed to know the next step. That's the must. It is an adventure to be explored. You know, if you go into my office, to the left, I always have a mug of coffee and a bottle of water. One is to keep me awake. The other one is to keep me from going totally crazy. Well, one day, I was sitting there doing some studying, and I reach over, grab for my coffee, bring it up to my lips, and I gag. I just grabbed my bottle of water. It was perfectly fine. But I was expecting coffee. So in something that I was truly craving in that moment was coffee, I gagged over something that was actually very good and probably better for me than coffee. It's not really good when all your water intake is filtered through coffee. Apparently, some doctor's telling me this. But because I was expecting coffee, I judged it based on what I was expecting. And that was bland, weak, room temperature coffee, also known as plain water. See, when we are expecting something and God gives us what we really need, what is far beyond our expectations, of course we're going to judge it negatively because it wasn't what we wanted. It can seem unpalatable to us. Jesus constantly had to distinguish between the nature of God's kingdom and the role of the Messiah. For the Jewish people of the time, the Messiah was a military king who had vanquished the Romans, bring in a new era of Israel supremacy. Throughout the ministry of Jesus, the disciples repeatedly tried to align Jesus to that goal, to be the son of David who would take the throne in Jerusalem and rule over the earth. Their expectation wasn't wrong, it was just the timing that they had off. That time will come. When Peter cut off the soldier's ear and Jesus then healed that servant in the Garden of Gethsemane, that was a surprise. Even just before Jesus ascended to heaven, his disciples were still asking, okay, now are you bringing in the kingdom? But Jesus told them to wait for for the Holy Spirit and that they would be witnesses to the world. Jesus wasn't concerned about setting up powerful political kingdoms, but beyond politics, he was going to heal a kingdom of hearts. So we have to ask ourselves, is our relationship with God about him meeting all our expectations? And when he doesn't, do we doubt him? Or is our relationship with God about him shaping our desires, our perspectives, and understanding of life to his will and learning to trust him? In other words, are you trying to mold God to fit your expectations, or are you molding your expectations to fit your God? Big question. One of them is you becoming like him. The other is molding a God after your own image. Read that as a false God. We are no better than anybody that worshiped Baal, Molech, Asherah, or any of the other false gods of the ancient world. Are we going to trust him? Explore your expectations in God's plan. I'd give you the counsel of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Jesus was not what we would expect. They were supposing he was going to be born of a royal family. Well, he was, but it was only in the time that it was so destroyed that he's the son of a carpenter. In the royal family, a carpenter. Jesus wasn't what we were expecting. Look for God's excellence in the middle of unmet expectations. It was expected that the Messiah would be born in the royal palace, and here he is, born in a stable. It would be expected that he would be a political deliverer, and here he is delivering souls. Look for God's excellence in the middle of unmet expectations. Even the prophet Isaiah speaks of the coming Messiah. Who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. In other words, there was nothing about him that would make us think, Messiah, Messiah, Messiah. There was not a red neon light over him going, hey, this is the guy God was talking about. There was a star in the sky. But there was nothing that you would look at Jesus and go, oh yeah, he's the guy for sure. See, when God steps into your life, it's rarely how you expect. Look for God in his excellence, in the middle of unmet expectations. In closing, God rarely meets our expectations. He always exceeds them. Every time. So, lest I be misunderstood, you might be thinking, Pastor, this is a great message for Christians. This message is not just for church people. Maybe you found us online, maybe you're listening, maybe your friend said, hey, you need to listen to this message. Maybe you, for your expectation of God is that he does not exist. This is for you too. Bring your unmet expectations to God. Express them to him. He's big enough to handle your unmet expectations. Examine your expectations. God is often beyond them. Expose your faulty expectations. God is working in them. Expand your expectations to fit God's. His plans are bigger. Explore your expectations in God's plan. God has more in mind for you than you could possibly imagine. In short, we can either try to squeeze God into our expectations, or we can let him expand them. Expect bigger. As we close with our hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, word faithfulness literally means same yesterday, today, and forever. He is true to his word. He is beyond what you expect. We're not singing about a God that is going to fit neatly into yours or my systems. He is far beyond us. That word great, you know, it's a great day. I had a great weekend. No. It is expansive beyond my wildest imaginations. God, you are greater than we can imagine. So, Lord, we come before you with expectations that do not measure up to you. I pray that you would humble us, that we might be able to bring them to you, that we would know you are welcoming us into your presence with those so that you can adjust them, you can expand them, that we don't have to be limited just by what we are expecting. I pray, Lord, that today you would astound us with who you are and how good you are. For our seniors that are about to go into another chapter of life, whether that's career or college or exploration of what you have, I pray that their expectations would not be set too low of you, that they would not have a small God, but that, Lord, you would be immense to them, immeasurably immense. As we gather to celebrate them at the banquet to follow, I pray your blessings on the food and the fellowship, that that time would be truly a blessing for all. We ask this in Jesus' name, for your glory. Amen. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. As you go, expect bigger and go in peace.